Hi, everyone.
Welcome back to Too Niche. I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Lara.
And guys, it's time for an emergency haul.
We were going to originally do a one season Housewives haul.
Which, to be honest, I've been researching for.
And we will do that someday.
Yeah. But we're turning it on its head. And thanks to a wonderful tapped in listener who slid into our DMs. Hi, Shannon. She said, Housewives Arrest Hall. And we said, yes. The criminal enterprise that is the Bravo universe is certainly something.
The amount of criminals who decide they want to be on reality TV and then get caught for their criminal behavior, it's like, I love that they never learn.
Bravo arrests were hot in the news this week.
This was honestly inspired by the arrest of Shannon Bedore.
Which, as you said earlier, we might have summoned on this very podcast because we've talked about Shannon a lot.
This is a Shannon Storms Bedore fan podcast, first fan and cast. Foremost.
Yeah.
But I do believe, and I've always thought that she was meant for big things, and she proved us right by taking a turn a little too fast and swerving into a building.
And then parking down the street, getting out of her car, and allegedly pretending to be walking her dog, which honestly, thinking quick.
That's a smart move. That's a pivot, if you will. Boss move.
Very girl boss, but not so much when everybody has ring cams nowadays.
No, gone are the days of being able to freely drive drunkenly into buildings and then drive away.
Get away scot-free.
Yeah. If you drive into a building, chances are you're probably going to have to surrender yourself to arrest for that.
So she was booked for two misdemeanors, a hit and run and a DUI.
Misdemeanors seem like a slap on the wrist. And basically, I've come to the conclusion that Orange County embraces drunk drivers.
To be honest, the entire Bravo universe embraces drunk driving.
But like, I thought DUIs were a felony. I thought you like lost your license. You see those billboards around that are like, don't. I guess that might be talking to people that don't have the means that some of these housewives have. Because it's like for the regular Joe, if you get caught drunk driving, you're going to get fined thousands, tens and thousands of dollars, lose your license and go into hell. But if you're Shannon Storms Bedore, you just drive into a house, you park your car, pretend you walk your dog and then get arrested. And then you just get two misdemeanors. I'll bet she gets like community service or something.
The lawyer that she has is the same one that she got for Gina.
That lawyer is really good. He made it so that they're not releasing her mugshot.
Oh.
I know. What did they say about her mugshot?
So it would endanger the successful completion of the investigation and, to be honest, probably put Citilonix in jeopardy.
If there's one thing I can't have it being in jeopardy, it's the Citilonic. I need my girl to be getting to work. I'll bet Dr. Moon is laughing all the way to the bank from this arrest. There's going to be a lot of energy to work out and heal.
You know who I bet is a little bit stoked because I think they just secured their spot for next season is Gina. Finally, storyline.
Despite all the odds and all the negative energy I send her way whenever I watch OC, Gina prevails season after season. And I can't take it anymore.
This I'm excited for, though.
I don't want Gina to have any reason to be smug. But maybe we need a season of smug Gina so that everyone can see the light and that she is truly so awful. And an unnecessary evil on that show.
I'm neutral on Gina. I went from being not into it to just neutral. I don't even know with that whole cast. I'm not sure.
I really like Emily, but I always have.
Emily,
you finally came over to the right side of history.
Season, I said, you know what? Love her.
Yeah. That was important.
Innocence Project, I was like, I love when a housewife has a cause and they integrate it into their storyline. She grabbed me. She had me.
She's funny. She's opinionated. She gets off her ass and works. She's helping out innocent people who were incarcerated unfairly. And she will flip her shit and like threaten to kill someone.
Checking all the housewives boxes.
That's all I need.
Emily Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing.
She's an MVP of OC.
Suddenly. Yeah. Suddenly Emily.
I've always seen it in her. I always knew. Gina, on the other hand, is out here clearly on Ozempic wearing a sparkly red lip to a lunch.
That she stopped drinking. I think of all the Ozempi ladies, I don't think of her as one.
That's exactly what the Ozempi ladies want you to think. The true Ozempic ladies want to say, oh, I just stopped drinking.
Probably. A niche table divided. It's okay.
Gina, I don't even, what's her even last name?
Kirsch. I'm going to have trouble pronouncing. We're going to get to her a bit later.
Yeah.
Because she's on this list.
Shannon Bedore's arrest is an A+ arrest for me. It has ring cam footage, driving into a building. No one got hurt.
Thank God.
And the biggest lull of all time is pulling your car over and then just pretending to walk your dog shit face wasted after a hit and run. That is performance artist level shenanigans.
Speaking of shenanigans, not the Sheena shenanigans, but the jail shenanigans of
Shenanigans.
There you go. I'm obsessed with this fluff piece that was released to People magazine this week that claims that Jen Shah and Elizabeth Holmes, who are both incarcerated in the same facility, are bonding in prison.
Do you think it's true?
I think it could be that they've just like head nodded and given like a knowing acknowledgement of like, we've both been in the press.
They ate lunch next to each other.
I don't know if they're like braiding hair.
I want Jen to convert her to Muslim. That's what in my heart of hearts, Jen and Sharif honestly spread the good word to Elizabeth Holmes. And then she becomes part of the Muslim sisterhood.
If you think about it, they're sort of in for like a similar grift.
Yeah.
Really pulling one over on people.
Wire fraud, sisters.
Wire fraud and DNA tech fraud.
I'm conflicted because I feel like a lot of people got hurt by her shenanigans. So it makes it less fun to gloat because I think people's lives were incredibly negatively affected and her family's life is incredibly negatively affected. It's either like an A+ for like ruining your life, the lives of many others, and your own life and your family's life. That's where I would give it an A+.
I'm just wondering, it's 11 years that she's incarcerated for, sentenced to 11 years. Are we just going to have somebody like leaking updates to the press for the next decade plus? Is this what we've been doomed to?
Maybe. But I think after a while, no one will care.
Like Salt Lake City isn't going to be on for the next 11 years. So
it could be. Watch yourself. Why would you say that? Roni has been on for a long time.
A lot of them have.
Yeah. Why would Salt Lake not
be
on?
Okay. Prediction. Within the next 11 years, we'll have cycled through the current cast and we'll be in like a next generation.
Bring Jen back. Next gen. Ooh, I like that. And see how she reintegrates with the new cast.
Damn.
Is she a changed woman?
2028 release?
Did she get time served for house arrest or something?
Caroline coming in. Is it Carolyn or Caroline? Caroline coming in with the hard facts.
Wow.
2028.
That's right around just in time for the LA Olympics.
Damn. Wow. Okay.
Good for her.
So maybe
I'm ready for her to be back in the spotlight.
I don't know if I am. I really thought...
She is a mob boss.
For me, more than any other newer housewife within the past, call it like 4 or 5 years. So someone who's been able to study sort of the housewife's playbook, I felt like she came in kind of picking and choosing like a best of like how to play it. And it read as incredibly inauthentic to me, and I couldn't stand it. Like, she like had the Sonia interns. She had just like the flipping out of nowhere a la Teresa, like throwing drinks. Like, it was just, and none of it felt real. And it bugged me from the jump. So I never really connected with her.
I didn't connect with her, but I was compelled by the entire grift that she did, which was, I think, not only grifting elderlies out of their retirement money, but also like grifting viewers out of thinking that she is this person that she totally isn't. And then watching that whole thing play out on TV.
Sure.
And her proclaiming her innocent, like screaming about being innocent on TV, only to the 25th hour be like, guilty, sorry. Like, that is really compelling to me. Because also I'm like, this woman now with Monica on the show, and I've said this on SUP, but I'm like, this woman was like a mafia bot. Like, she ran a full-fledged crime ring and she behaved like a mafia boss.
True.
And that is very compelling. I don't ever want to meet this
person.
I mean,
when we zoom out and we look at historic housewives moments, that sprinter van arrest.
I have 7 attorneys. I've got to call all of them.
I'm physically shaking right now. I mean, that was a wild moment.
Yeah.
That was like true, you know, once in a lifetime thing to catch on film. Grateful for us as an audience that we got it. But Jen Shah was like, I was never loving. I was never a shamazing squad.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster. I'm happy to be off the roller coaster now, and that I'm happy that she's serving time. But I do feel like at this point, she's essentially a career criminal, and she's going to come back out of jail and probably go back to like being a criminal.
Right. I guess Jen Shah gets, just because of the moment of television that we got, and it's really like the severity of her crime, I think, is the largest, one of the largest on the list.
Yeah, she's a full-fledged, it's an A+, honestly.
It's big.
For the scope
of
it.
Yeah, A+.
Yeah.
Starting off real strong.
Mm-hmm. Let's do Teresa Giudice next.
Okay.
Teresa and her husband, Joe, faced legal troubles, including charges of bankruptcy, fraud, and conspiracy to commit mail and wire fraud. She served 11 months in a federal correctional institute in Connecticut before being released. So Teresa got in trouble because she signed documents falsifying tax information.
Yeah, it was something along those lines. It was very much like a husband handing some papers to his wife. Is what it seems like to me when everything shook out,
mm-hmm.
being like, sign this, Tree. And then she's like, okay. And then she signed it. And then just the biggest mess ever resulted. And it was actually so sad watching it play out on the show. Like, it wasn't a fun watch.
Yeah, I didn't watch during those seasons, but I remember the general takeaway from my Ron J heads was like, it actually is really depressing.
So sad.
They have 4 daughters.
4 daughters. Their mom went to jail first for 11 months. And then Joe, this was something. Okay. The Giudice versus Giudice discourse.
Giudice
versus Giudice. They say both throughout the beginning first seasons of the show.
Yeah. There's no real, that's kind of part of the fraud of it all.
It's something to think about.
Yeah.
And so Joe ended up getting sentenced to 41 months in prison. And then turns out he came over to the United States when he was a young child and he never got citizenship. So then he went straight to ICE post-prison.
I remember his ICE era.
And then was deported to Italy.
The long arm of the law came for him. I feel sad for, you know, the shame that they brought on fellow Italian Americans who are really just trying to come out of the shadow of being cast as like mafiosos or criminals. And he didn't do much for them in that respect. But I do think it's very funny to imagine Joe Giudice in prison and then ICE and then deported to Italy. Does he live in the Bahamas now, though?
Something like that. He kind of splits time. He's running around town.
He's doing good now.
Yeah, it's really nice to see that he's...
They both bounce back. It's been ultimately a hill and journey for them both. And now the girls get to go visit their dad in Italy whenever they want.
I'm inspired to see them go through such a trying ordeal and then come out on the other side.
They get an A+ for the bounce back.
Huge.
Yeah.
Do we have a Teresa mugshot?
Is this like her booking mugshot or just like the mugshot of her arrest? She's looking good, honestly.
She looks great. She definitely had hair and makeup, but honestly, who wouldn't?
She's 5'5".
I think this is her booking. Looks like she's about to enter a situation.
Yeah.
I think she's a great mugshot. She clearly is not happy with the ordeal, but she looks tan and her hair has a nice blowout flip to it.
Yeah.
Some nice waves.
She looks tan and as ready for jail as you could possibly look given the situation.
Yep.
So I have to give her an A+.
A+. And Joe's, I mean, he looks beat down. It looks tough. I'm sorry to this man.
He looks like he belongs in prison with that mugshot.
Yeah.
So I give him also an A+ for that. I feel like he probably did great in prison.
I feel like he did what he had to do.
He's ready to fight. He's like, I think that, like, I don't worry for like Italian American, like big Guido juice heads in prison.
No, I think
he could like find some like-minded individuals and stick with them and do perfectly well.
They came out the
well.
Other side.
Yeah.
And the girls seem to be well adjusted and doing great. And that's really all that matters. And Teresa found love again.
Mm-hmm. She's in her love bubble and it's happily ever after.
Jail who, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to do Kim Richards next just because I'm fresh from my Beverly Hills rewatch and I miss it every single day. So poor Kim was... She grabbed some reusable bags at the Van Nuys Target and began loading them up with merchandise in the dollar section. She loaded the bags into the cart, took them into the express line, left without attempting to check out. She told the clerk that she had already paid for said items. Then she grabbed another cart, didn't bother to bag any of the items. She just loaded up the cart with toys and beauty products. So then she got 3 feet out of the store. Enough to make it a shoplifting case. And when a security guard approached her and escorted her to the booking room where they took a picture, Kim told security that she couldn't remember if she paid or not.
To me, this reads as Kim Richards was really confused and drunk.
Yeah.
And I also think, like, why are you letting just like this drunk person wander around and lug shopping carts to and fro? Like, why do you have to let her get 3 feet out of the store and then make a whole thing? Like, couldn't you see her going for the door and just be like, hey, ma'am, have you paid for these? It was a really dark mugshot.
This mugshot.
It's an A+ for the darkest mugshot tough. Of all. This is like, this is an unwell woman that I actually blame the Target employees for just being like, if you see that woman in her fedora looking like the saddest woman in the world, lugging around multiple shopping carts, she's sticking out like a sore thumb in like happy-go-lucky Target, and then you're gonna let her walk out the store and then arrest her? That's fucked up.
I'm at a loss for words at this fedora. I don't even know what to say.
She's in the darkest hours of her life in this moment.
And it happened just because it's fresh in my mind. It was in between seasons on BH. She was had just come off like a stint of sobriety. So it was just, and I think we had Rinna sort of being like, Kim's in a really dark place. And everyone was like, how can you say that? And she's like, own it, honey. And then this happened and Rinna was just like so pleased with herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's like,
she always knows.
See?
Did Kim get sober after this, or it's kind of been like on and off a bit?
I think she got sober after this. I think this was a, I think this mugshot was a wake up call.
That this, is a rock bottom.
This is a rock bottom.
This is an A plus rock bottom. Who does she look like? She looks like grumpy old men.
It's like grumpy old men and Britney Spears in the gas station in 2004.
It's a mixture. Two things that you never want to look like as a 50 something woman.
Really rough.
Is Walter Matthau and Britney Spears in her darkest days combined, having just shoplifted two huge grocery carts full of toys and beauty products from a Target.
Okay. Speaking of shoplifting, Mr. Jason Michael Couchy.
Jason Michael Couchy also goes by the name Jax Taylor. And was a cast member on Vanderpump Rules.
Heard of it.
Until he got a little too mouthy for his own good. And he was arrested in July 2015 on vacation in Hawaii, where he drunkenly stole a pair of, I believe, Tiffany sunglasses from a sunglasses hut at an airport.
For
Britney.
Britney, his then girlfriend, who was fresh into the scene. She was on her first cast trip. Cameras had gone down. They were all having a free day before they went to the airport. And Jax decided to get wasted and steal a pair of sunglasses. I don't think they were even at the airport yet. I think they were like a boardwalk sunglass hut from what I remember.
I think they were at the airport, I thought.
It was a store on Kalakaua Avenue in Waikiki.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember, as the tale goes, they were like, some of the cast had gone like scuba diving and were like everyone, the cameras were down. So they all were able to like live life.
And some people decided to like have recreation time, go scuba diving, see the sights. And Jax immediately went to his sunglasses hut and decided to thieve. But he's like a big time shoplifter, because
yeah,
then it came out that he'd shoplifted like wallets for people's birthdays. He like,
yeah,
is a constant shoplifter.
He makes me think of Emma Watson in the Bling Ring movie being like, I want to rob.
Yeah.
That's Jax.
I'm so not a shoplifter,
no,
because of the fact that getting caught would be too humiliating to bear. And I think if you're a longtime shoplifter, it's also just a matter of time before you get,
yeah,
caught. At least once.
It's the thrill, and you're probably just like constantly chasing the dragon.
Too scary for me.
Could
Stakes
never.
Stakes too high.
I did once, Nordstrom's middle school, steal a guest bra, but it was peer pressure.
It's important to steal once and figure out if
I
you like it or not.
Literally, my chest got tight. It was like, it was so scary.
Oh yeah, I stole a shirt from Abercrombie that was also with a friend of mine who would steal so much shit.
There
and she
always
taught me how to do it. And I was like, I stole that shirt and I was sweating bullets. I was like, this is it for me. And then I've never stolen anything.
There was always
again
that one girl who loved to rob,
mm-hmm,
and was always like the most well-off girl.
Oh yeah. She had no reason to rob, but she would walk into an American Eagle and there'd be like nothing left on the shelves after she was done with that place.
The Nordstrom's at Somerset collection, this was in like the late 90s, so that was like the spot. Like that BP would get just
worked over.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've just never been a robber.
No, that's not for me. Not
my
worth
crime
it
lies more in like drugs.
My crime was smoking a bowl in the back of a car while someone drove.
Yeah, my crime was more like just driving drunk.
Okay, Shannon Bedore.
I know. In my teenage Shannon Bedore years.
So Sweet Jax was sentenced to 364 days of probation. And if he stayed out of trouble, he got his record wiped clean. To let him off too easy, I think. Yeah. He also had to pay $350 to the store and $105 to the Crime Victim Compensation Fund and $1,150 in fees and fines. So he pretty much, I think the embarrassment of a grown man getting caught on national television doing such an idiotic move was really that the was strongest of the punishments. I don't know if it was like enough for him. We never heard of him do it anything like that again. So I guess he learned his lesson, but who knows? It was a really pitiful moment though.
Jax's arrest for me gets like a B minus because it was exciting and fun, but it wasn't thrilling.
I'm giving it a B because it provided good and almost necessary storyline in terms of character development for him.
True.
And I liked that for us, but it is truly embarrassing for him.
Yeah, it's like a lame arrest. I do feel like he has another great arrest in his future.
Definitely.
Given the fact
well said.
Like that he allegedly has all these tax liens against him, I just feel like he's a shady kind of guy. He has maybe a couple great arrests ahead of him.
There's something that must be brewing.
So watch this space.
Yes.
Wait, did he have a mugshot?
Oh yeah, he does. Honestly, it's kind of hot.
Oh, I remember this. This was his like wide jaw.
Yeah, I was just gonna say cocaine jaw. In terms of mugshot, though, it's not terrible. There is some alcohol bloat that he's dealing with as well as the jaw, but
it's like a jaw. It's a bit steroids, I think, too.
Very that.
Don't steroids bulk you right in there.
Also, we must mention the style of t-shirt he has. It's like the loose neck tee that
citizens arrest again. This is a typical LA male
alternative apparel
t-shirt.
Yeah.
Where you get the loosest, widest neckline possible.
It's tough.
It's really bad.
It's not, none of it is great, but in terms of a mugshot, it could be worse.
Okay. Let's move on to Sonia Morgan.
I was going to say, let's do my favorite international lifestyle brand, mm-hmm. please.
In 2010, Sonia failed to halt at a stop sign and was pulled over in Southampton. And she had been partying on the East End over the course of Memorial Day weekend. And then it caught up to her. She failed a bunch of sobriety tests and was hauled off to the slammer.
And then slapped with a DWI.
Is DWI worse than a DUI?
Driving while intoxicated.
I think that is bad.
So she refused to take a breathalyzer test and then brought to police headquarters and then got a DWI. So I think DUI is worse. Can we fact check?
Yep. DWI or DUI, which one's worse?
Oh. I think it's a more graceful way of saying it.
What about... It's just a classier New York way. It's the Morgan way of saying it.
So, interestingly enough, I'm just sort of doing the timeline check on this. Sonia joined Roni in April of 2010. Memorial Day of 2010 would only be like so many months later. So I feel like she wasn't really in the public sphere as much yet when this happened. So it's sort of, she kind of skated by like nobody really cared. It was a bit of a blip.
Yeah, that's kind of fascinating because I expect a lot of arrests to come later. But actually a few on this list have come before.
Yes. That being said,
Sonia's, I'm stop like running a stop sign.
It's bound to happen.
Yeah.
It just sort of feels like par for the course for the Sonia experience.
Also, I think it's a New York housewives rite of passage to have a DUI or like a drunken incident.
Yeah. Big time.
I'm glad for Sonia that it didn't happen at like the peak of her Bravo celebrity fame, but I'm also sad for me that it didn't happen at the peak of her Bravo celebrity fame.
We have to talk about her mugshot though.
Her mugshot's very chic.
It's kind of glam. It has sort of like cry eyes a bit, and fresh lip filler and a bit of a late night. Her hair is up in a probably in a chignon.
She's glassy eyed. She looks really upset about the DWI. I would be too if I
She's stressed.
I wonder what her alcohol, like blood alcohol level was. Oh, she didn't take a breathalyzer, so we'll never know.
We'll never know.
Well,
I love Sonia so much. I think she's on my Mount Rushmore. So I'm sorry this happened to her.
I'm going to give it an A plus because I think she learned her lesson and then just got a driver from then on out. Either got a driver, she just got better at drunk driving.
She doesn't leave the townhouse for the next 5 years.
Okay, wait. This reminds me of my dad's drunk driving incident. And I've told this story before, I think like on an old episode of Babe. But Shannon Bedore's, like, I just had a flash and I was like, why do I feel like kindred to this? Like, you get in trouble for driving drunk, but then you do something else to distract and it either works or it doesn't. So my dad got drunk, he drove, and then he drove into a Sonic. And
Dad.
Wait, I fully like buried the lead on this because I talked about Shannon on the Sup bonus episode, but did not bring it. But I'm like, this hits, it's home for me. So he drove into a Sonic. The cops were called. And when they arrived at the Sonic, my dad just acted like an old, confused senior citizen.
You went Tom Girardi?
He went full Tom Girardi. Got out of it, did not get arrested, and like fully excused from, like, they just gave up. Like, no charges were pressed, no arrests were made, and the cops just were like, okay.
Follow-up question. When he drove into the Sonic, was he trying to do a drive-through?
I think he was gonna get
Carb
a
up.
Coney. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think he just kept driving through the drive-in and actually did drive in to the Sonic.
How old were you?
This was recent. This was this was within the last 10 years, I would say. I wasn't living at home at the time.
Okay. Wow.
But it's within my LA era. Kind of iconic.
It is kind of. Wow.
That's a DUI success story.
Yeah.
The DUI pivot. Success.
That saying, DUIs?
Not good.
Not good.
Driving into buildings, bad. Don't drive drunk. But if you're going to drive drunk and then potentially get a DUI, if you can manage to pivot and then get out of it, that's kind of on the cops.
So this is a lesson to be learned here.
Oklahoma, I would say, yeah.
Wow. Bonus grade for your dad.
I know. So let's see. Tinsley Mortimer.
Whew.
Next on the list.
Okay, so this was pre her getting onto Roni. So we know and love Tinsley, one of the it socialites of the aughts in New York. She then has a divorce from her husband, Topper Mortimer, goes to Palm Beach, begins to spiral. In the midst of the spiral, in 2016, she was at the time, I think, ex-boyfriend or freshly ex-boyfriend's Alexander Nico Fun Jewels Palm Beach home. He's apparently a billionaire heir. And she was crying and screaming on his property because he was with another woman inside, as the tale goes. And then he called the cops on her and she was booked into a local jail, forced to pose for a mugshot, and told the police that she only wanted to retrieve her purse that belonged and her other belongings in the home. He said she was trespassing, and it was a rough scene.
Palm Beach is where
one
shit
of
gets
two
crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. I think Palm Beach can be a very dangerous place. the thing that stuck out the most in my mind were Tinsley's eyebrows in the mugshot.
Right.
She was doing fox eye before fox eye was a thing. Is this like a Botox?
I think it's a hereditary hair growth up with the Botox. So I just think there's like not so much hair there mm-hmm. to begin with. So then once you add the lift that Botox
I like
has
them.
As
I think
a
it's
result.
Dramatic.
it is dramatic. That is for certain. She's got cry face.
Mm-hmm. But still looks gorgeous.
She looks gorgeous. She's spiraling in this picture for certain.
She's in a fugue state.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was able, you know, to dust it off, create like a new story for herself, because shortly after this, she joined the cast of Roni, moved into Sonia's townhouse, and a whole new journey began.
I just have to say, I think like Palm Beach and the men that you meet in Palm Beach will drive you to a place of screaming, cursing, resisting arrest, potentially biting a police officer or two, and just generally being intense.
Yeah, it tracks.
Yeah.
I like this one.
I like this one
too. A minus.
It's an A minus for me as well. It's chic.
It adds to the lore.
It does. And no one got hurt. And it just ultimately is fine.
Yeah. I mean, except probably her soul got hurt a little bit.
Her pride, yeah. 100%. But thank God this was not like in Ring camera era.
Oh.
Also, ooh. Kind of thank God that it's with people that are so rich. Like, they're not going to air each other out like that. Like, if you're right. screaming and you're arrested on a billionaire's property, that billionaire is likely not going to release any sort of Ring cam footage of you. They don't want anyone to know their business. Mm-hmm. So it's a safe place to scream and get arrested.
Should we go to the second Palm Beach?
We should stay local.
We should stay local. The result of one of my favorite lines of all time from Countess Luann. I've been traveling. I've been to prison. It's just beyond. So December 2017, Countess de Lesseps. Well, I guess she was no longer Countess because she had married Tom D'Agostino at this point. It was a year after her Palm Beach wedding to Tom. And then they decided to get a divorce. She wasn't planning on going to Palm Beach. She decides to go for New Year's. And I think as the tale went, she was in a hotel, inebriated.
I've been to the hotel where Luann was arrested. It was a chic hotel.
Say more.
I took photos outside with my friends because we were like, we are at ground zero.
Iconic location.
Mm-hmm.
Went into someone's room that she thought was her room. It was somebody else's room. The police were called. She then was charged with disorderly intoxication, battery on an officer, firefighter, EMT, resisting arrest with violence, and threatening a public servant. And there was video of it. Not her finest hour.
Oh. But we should watch the video.
Okay.
She also reportedly told people, I'm going to kill you all before her arrest. That's cool. You should be threatening to kill. Like, if you're getting arrested and you haven't threatened to kill anyone, you haven't done it right.
Are you doing it even?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with her. I give this an A+. I think threatening to kill a police officer in that situation is warranted. And she's clearly not going to kill. Who's she going to hurt? Her hand. She's handcuffed. She's being strapped in the back of a car.
This is my favorite one.
She's being roughhoused.
This was in all arrests. This gave story. Because she went from Class with the Countess, etiquette book.
Mm-hmm. To look at this.
Okay. To I'm going to kill you.
I'm now remembering that I've also been arrested twice.
Oh.
as a teen, as a troubled teen,
okay,
as a minor. So my mugshots are not available to the public slash are probably destroyed.
Is that a
all
thing?
Record. I think all records of your, if you're a minor and you get arrested and it gets figured out slash you go to therapeutic boarding school for 2 years, then I don't know.
I see.
But my first arrest, I was Countess Vibes in the mugshot. Smiling through the tears. I was across the street from my friend Chris and Brendan's house. And it was like a group of us all smoking weed and just being like silly in a church parking lot. And then a neighbor called the cops on us. And I had, I think, like a quarter ounce of weed. And I stuffed it in my shoe. And the cops came. They cleaned out my friend's car. They found a pipe that she'd just given me. I copped to ownership of the pipe because I didn't want my friend to get in trouble for that. And then they went through my purse and they found seeds and stems, which I think that they planted in there because I was not a girly who had like seeds and stems like
ready to grow at a later date.
Floating around in her purse. Yeah. But I also might have been because that was like the level of pot we were smoking was very seedy and very stemmy. So I was toted off to the village police department where I was photographed for a mugshot. I had the pot in my shoe the entire time. They never caught it. And I had to take my shoes off for the mugshot. I was wearing like red Converse low tops. And my friends knew that the pot was in my shoe. And they were literally like, this is it. I'm about to get just like fully busted at the police department. And then lo and behold, I slipped those shoes off and just stood in my socks and took the thing. And like, as they were taking my photo, my girlfriends, because it was three girls that got arrested, they were like looking at me and I was like, and like just ballsy, like give no fucks, like smiled for my mugshot and then was just like thrown in a little like isolation tank for my parents to come and
get me. Did you slip it further down your sock, like to the sole of your foot almost?
I slipped it in the very, very toe of the shoe.
Smart.
And then kept my socks on. But then just like, it just was always in the toe of the shoe. And that's what made me really lose respect for policemen. Because I was like, you just never even searched the shoes.
Damn.
So I was laughing about that. And then the second arrest was my, I would say, a huge fall from grace and what really sealed the deal for my departure from Oklahoma. I was at a party. I had no friends at the time because I had burned a lot of bridges. I was feeling a lot of discomfort. I was on a cocktail of booze and benzos, had taken into purchasing lots of Valium.
You were in a euphoria era.
It was full blown Jules era. And I was at this house party and like every room I went in was just another enemy. So I said, there was a drug dealer who was there, the guy that I would buy all my Valium from. And he was like, I'm going to go pick up a bottle from my dealer. Do you want to come with me? And I was like, yeah. And my friend Thomas, who was there, was like, please don't go. And I was like, I'll be right back. Just chill. And I got in a car with a bunch of people and we went to go pick up this bottle of Valium that was like just down the road. And the whole thing turned out to be like a sting operation. And the cops had arrested the Valium provider and then they were like staking him out waiting for him to like, or no, they had arrested, I guess, someone that was, they were just like following this guy and they were waiting, I think, to bust him in the act of selling to like teenagers.
Oh, wow.
And so then we left the deal was done. I was in the backseat of the car, like drinking a beer, like openly. And then as soon as we pulled out of this parking lot, all the lights went off, like the cop lights went off. And I was like, you forgot to put your turn signal on and then put my beer down. I was like, this will be over in a second. And then all four of the doors were ripped open at the same time. And plainclothes police officers with guns drawn, like
plain clothes,
wearing their badges around their neck. I literally thought we were getting robbed by, I was like, it's a bunch of robbers. Like, I didn't know what was going on because it was just such a swift turn from like, oh, you're getting like a parking violation to like, no, we're getting like arrested at gunpoint.
You were like, I'm physically shaking right now.
No, I was literally, I went full Countess vibes. I was like, I flipped out. I was like, what the fuck? And like, I was like, you can't do this. I'm innocent. You can't pull guns on innocent people. I have nothing. I've done nothing wrong. And like, I was then cuffed and restrained while they looked through my purse, and I just screamed and screamed. And they were like, this girl is like hopped up on crystal meth or something. And I was like, I don't do fucking meth. I just like lost. I lost
you
it.
You went counting.
I went ape shit. And then I was arrested when they found a bunch of pills.
But were you in a floral Ralph Lauren style dress?
No. Oh. I was in jeans and a top. And then I was toted down to the station. And then I was like, damn, I'm about to be in huge trouble for this. And then I was in huge trouble, and then I was gone. I was
swiftly
in boarding school about a week later.
Woo.
Yeah.
What a story.
It was a righteous downfall. I was sad that time. That time the mugshot, I don't even know if they got a mugshot that time. They probably did. I was a little
How old were you?
I was 17.
Wow.
I know. So that was my...
You really turned it around, Jane Halls.
I turned everything around. I steered inspired. That ship right around.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Glad you did.
Teresa style.
Or Countess and Friends style.
Countess and Friends, exactly.
This is Countess and Friends.
This has unlocked, the Shane Halls criminal history.
Wow.
A bit, but I'm glad to go down that road. And I feel like I can speak with authority on these arrests, having been arrested. Yeah. Have you ever been arrested?
I have not been arrested.
Have you come close to being arrested?
I've pretty much any weekend in my youth, could have gone that direction very quickly. I was just very lucky. Mm-hmm. But just doing like standard kid in high school stupidity.
Yeah.
Type that stuff. Like very much like church parking lot getting high type scenarios.
The long arm of the law will come for you.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're not careful.
There's some instances where I'm like, wow, I'm very lucky. There was one time when there was a huge house party. Where I grew up, it was truly like American Pie type, like classic high school party, like just... What's that movie? Can't Hardly Wait. Like mm-hmm. that energy was my high school. And there was one of those like big movie Red Cup high school parties. And for some reason, I was like, I'm not going to drink tonight. And I have no idea why. I was the designated driver probably because we would all switch off. And it was the one time that the cops came and like 30 kids got arrested. It was one of those where like kids were just like sprinting down the street. It was like a movie. And it was truly the one weekend that I was like, I'm okay.
So smart.
I was.
I'd be proud of you if I were your parents.
They were. Yeah. I told them.
I love that.
That's one instance that really stuck out that I was very lucky.
Yeah.
But I'd be really disappointed
in my kid if they got arrested because it's very easy to not get arrested.
Very easy to not get arrested, but also at the same time, it's a very like wrong place, wrong time situation too, because there's so many times when you're in your youth that you're just like trying stuff and doing stupid things that are not legal.
And your judgment gets worse and worse the more fucked up you are. But yeah.
So just love to everyone on this list.
Let's talk about some physical confrontations.
Okay, because there's a lot of those.
There's a few. We'll start with Kelly Bensimone. I didn't realize that Kelly Bensimone had ever even been arrested.
Oh, yeah. But it says December 2020. I thought it was post-Scary Island.
She was completely unwell during that time. So it's shocking she wasn't arrested
Honestly,
sooner.
Though, I'm going to say this. One of the best New York housewives we've had, Bensimone.
Oh, yeah.
She was incredible TV. And essentially, she was arrested March 5th at 9:10 a.m. for punching her then fiance in the face and gave him a laceration under his left eye. She was arrested for assault and...
Nisha's know how I feel about women who are arrested for punching their husbands in the face.
They
you can refer back
it.
To my Liza thoughts. And to me, Kelly joins the ranks of some of the greats.
She's beyond. I love her. She surrendered to police, has been charged with a misdemeanor third degree assault. She ended up going to court for it. Honestly.
What'd the judge say?
Here's the thing about...
He's like, I love this for you. He's like, honestly, I can't fault you for this.
Kelly Bensimone's social media, if we can just pivot a little.
Unhinged.
It is. She does what I think we all need to do and just treat it as our own personal television network.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's like, she'll, for years, she's just been like going into restaurants and like going into the kitchen and being like, make me something great. She's like, I'm here with the chef. Like, she's in her full
she's
lifestyle television
people.
Show. And... I'm inspired.
Does she know any of them?
Yeah, she knows everybody. It's New York City and it's Kelly Bensimone.
My friend Gwyneth. Okay, I'm inspired by that too.
And she's like really harnessed TikTok and she's moved into an incredible real estate career. I mean, it's all happening for Miss Kelly Bensimone. Unfortunately, she had this misdemeanor assault charge, but again, as Lara has exemplified to us and now Kelly Bensimone, you can bounce the fuck back.
Sometimes you got to stumble on the way up.
Yep. Queen.
That judge loved her.
Yeah. He's like, I love that running scene.
I get it, sweetie. Remember when she was like announcing the sale of Epstein's Island on TikTok?
Yes.
That
she's like, you may have seen this property in the news.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay. Go off.
Okay.
Good for her. A plus for the assault and then getting out of it with 2 days of community service.
That's rich white lady stuff.
Yeah. Jules Weinstein.
Ugh, my fave.
Another punch.
Gone too soon.
Oh,
another
fork
Roni.
In the calzone, Jules, as I like to call her.
So February 2020, she was arrested for allegedly punching her estranged husband, Michael Weinstein, in the face. Things got heated during the former couple's usual custody exchange in a parking lot, with Jules allegedly licking Michael's car window before heading around to the back of the vehicle and damaging it with a baseball bat. Jules then allegedly punched Michael in the face, and their two children were in the car at the time.
I'm laughing. I'm with her. I'm like right there being like, yes, lick that window, like fucking beat the shit out of his car. And I'm on board 100% A plus until the children in the car detail.
Yeah, that's really tough. Additionally, her husband, from what we saw on her one season wonder of Roni, was the capital W worst. So, I mean, he probably deserved it. And hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, in the case of these Bravo ladies waging war on a man, I'll bet the man has put them through a bunch of fucked up shit. That is a mugshot of a really unhappy person.
I feel very sorry that this mugshot was made public.
Divorces are really intense.
Yeah.
And like custody battles, forget it. Never marry a person that you wouldn't want to also divorce.
Oh. It's a good rule of thumb.
That's like a, someone said that once and it really stuck with me.
Jules, a Jew and an Asian walked into a bar. Then they had me.
And they had me. Then I went ape shit on my fucking ex while I was here handing over the kids for our 3 p.m. handoff.
Yeah. And then she ended up moving to Palm Beach with the kids. She moved in with her parents last I saw. And then she's like not really, she like hasn't had a peep on social media since like 2018.
Yeah. It's for the best.
Yeah.
I wonder if she got primary custody of the kids then.
She did.
So he probably deserved it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, he cheated on her, which is why they ended up getting a divorce. He cheated on her right after it came out. So her season of Roni, season 8, one of my faves, had aired. And then by the time they got to film the reunion, it had come out that he had cheated on her and they were actively getting a divorce.
Damn. So it goes.
Keeping with the Roni theme, Leah McSweeney.
This is a shocking one, full of twists and turns.
Yeah. So this happened in 2002, long before anyone knew a Leah or a McSweeney or a Married to the Mob. So Leah, who is like a born and bred New Yorker, was outside the Hammerstein Ballroom, had just seen a concert. It was 4 a.m. She was making out with a guy when basically there was this massive crowd and the cops were breaking up the crowd and they basically pulled the guy that she was kissing away from her. And she freaked out and threw a plastic water bottle at the cops as a knee-jerk reaction. And
it hit a cop in the back. Yep.
And then he turned around, lunged at her, and punched her in the face. She fell onto the sidewalk, and she got put in handcuffs and basically slammed her face into the subway grate and knocked her tooth out. As a result, she pursued legal action and wound up with a $75,000 payout. She then used that money to start her streetwear brand, Married to the Mob.
Smart businesswoman.
Girl boss.
Mm-hmm. 75K seems like not enough.
For a tooth?
For a tooth.
I'd like more.
For a punch in the face, slam on the ground,
that's
tooth
knocked out.
That's
a six figures.
Out. That's mid six figures.
But this was also in 2002, so.
Inflation.
Yeah.
That'd be like 250K today.
Yep.
This is an A plus.
It's an A plus. It's pretty badass. The mugshot, however, it's black and white.
Whoa, vintage. I like the mugshot because it feels very like Patti Smith kids. It's
exactly
very New
what
York.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry that this happened, but
well, she's also, this is a mugshot after she's been punched in the face. So kind of unfair to judge it because it would have been after her face got slammed and
exactly.
Her tooth is out.
True.
She looks a little shell-shocked, as one would be.
Yeah, this sounds harrowing, but she really, as Housewives taglines will teach us, turn lemons into lemonade.
She did,
so,
and she turned it around.
So we love that for her. I give this one an A.
Give it an A too.
Story. I'm actually shocked that Dorinda isn't on this list in the scheme of Roni inebriation and police altercations.
For some reason, I don't think of Dorinda as being able to drive.
She's just like posted up in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
So she's not going to deal with anything like that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
She knows better.
Like when she goes out or like really ties one on, I don't picture her being someone that goes out on the town.
No, she's walking distance.
Yeah, she's like going to dinner and taking a cab or mm-hmm. something like that. Okay, let's go to a true queen of arrests, Danielle Staub.
Arrested? Engaged 19 times?
throwing the book on the table.
Just really one of the initial This is important in the Housewives history because people were like, oh, we're paying attention now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all because of rooted in this situation.
Yeah. From a future criminal to a former criminal. Game recognized game.
That's right.
So Danielle Staub was arrested on 1986 in 1986 for kidnapping and extortion. Then she was known in a completely different name, Beverly Merrill. So Danielle says Staub. Okay, so there's many versions, which I like.
Yeah, let's do the victim's version first, okay, because I am leaning towards this one.
So the victim's version of events was that Staub, an acquaintance of the victim's, had bragged about her drug world connection. So he asked her to set him up with 2 kilos of cocaine to sell to 2 men who also lived in their complex. The day of the deal, Staub arrived at his apartment with only 1 kilo, telling him, "We're only going to do 1 at a time. She was very cocky, but the buyers ended up pulling a gun and making off with the cocaine. Staub starts flipping out on me and dragged him to her apartment where her boyfriend, Daniel Aguilar, who was involved in the drug buy, was waiting. Aguilar is called Jorge in the book. He, too, is testifying for Marr. Aguilar, Staub, and another man took him to a safe house in South Miami and tied him up. Aguilar punched him in the face and Staub grabbed a 9mm gun, hit him in the back of the head with it, slapped him, grabbed him by the throat, shoved the gun in his mouth. She said, "You better get this money or you're dead."
I can see all of this.
He finally called his father in upstate New York to ask for the money, even though he knew his father didn't have it. And then Danielle says she'd introduced Centella, a neighbor in her Miami apartment complex, to some friends who, lo and behold, were drug dealers. Centella got some drugs from them to resell, but then claimed a couple guys robbed him and took the drugs, a story that Staub didn't buy. The neighbor tried to dupe them and make me look really bad. The more I think about it over the years, the more I believe that he was hoping they would blame me and hurt me for his misdeeds. What a coward. Staub said she didn't have anything to do with the kidnapping, but admits she did talk to the victim's father about the $24,000 debt his son owed and that it needed to be paid in full immediately. But his dad called the FBI, who tracked down Centella and the captors as they drove to Western Union to pick up the money. Wow, Staub cooperated and got 5 years probation after pleading guilty to extortion.
Your husband's in the pool. That's all I think of when I see her ever.
I'm obsessed with this.
This is
full-fledged criminal backstory. Decades before appearing on any sort of television program.
Yeah, it's... Cop Without a Badge is the name of the book. I think it's a must own for any Housewives library. I just love this one. We have her mugshot. She is... looking, it's vintage, raggedy.
Wow, Beverly. She looks the same though, honestly. Hair different.
80s hair.
80s hair.
I think she just got tied up in the wrong crowd. And I think that Danielle seems like the type of woman that these things just find her.
Happen to her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're living in a Miami apartment complex negotiating a deal for 2 keys of cocaine for a neighbor.
Sounds about right. Giving it a B plus.
I'm going to give it an A plus because it's great lore. And
true.
I'm also giving it an A plus because it feels like she never really turned it around.
Yeah, no, it this one is an A. Portia Williams, an A/D, depending on how you look at it. Portia Williams was arrested twice for peacefully protesting Breonna Taylor's murder in 2020.
Damn.
So fucked up that she, A, had to protest this, and
B got arrested for it. In Atlanta?
But I love Portia. I think she's an MVP housewife. And I love that she used her voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so in Louisville, Kentucky.
She's boots on the ground. Yeah. Damn.
Ground zero.
Yeah, she's like an A+ all around. A gorgeous lady.
Great TV.
Okay, let's talk about Marisol Patton.
Are you a Miami housewife?
I know.
Watcher? It's been,
I need to.
Okay, so.
Every time we talk about housewives, I'm like, I have so much work to do because I really need to like, I really need to re-engage with New Jersey in a major way. Like watch season one again because it's been so long. But then I also need to watch Miami. I also need to like fully watch Potomac because I've only watched like part of the most recent season.
You've got work to do.
I know. People think that I'm this like housewives, like encyclopedia. University. But like I honestly, Vanderpump Rules took so much of my life away from me. And so now I've got to work to get it back.
I feel like you should do, I think you could do Miami and start with just the reboot.
Yeah, I was starting.
And
with
you'll
the
breeze
reboot.
Through that.
Yeah. And so, then I might go back.
Yeah, so Marisol started on the OGs. Famously, they brought back the show after a long, long, long hiatus. In 2011, Marisol was under suspicion that she was driving while intoxicated, which she pled guilty to lesser charge of reckless driving and received an $1,000 fine. So it was really just a blip on the radar, but we did get a mugshot. And so one thing I'll have you know about Marisol is her entire housewife's personality is based on drinking. Okay. And she calls her drinks, unfortunately for everybody, she calls them cockies.
Oh, man.
And it's a little overplayed for
this
me.
This mugshot is the face of a woman who calls her drinks cockies.
It's not this great. Is they got
you
her.
Are a drunk lady
drunkity drunk
but at least you have white privilege because you got to just be like I'll take reckless driving for $1,000 and they were like okay you yeah. got it. Okay, a huge update while we've been potting.
What?
The news just broke that Shannon Bedore is headed to rehab.
Smart PR playbook 101. That's really, it's the Countess Luann way.
It's what to do.
Yeah.
What to expect when you're expecting a DUI is to immediately go to rehab.
Oh,
I'm so
God.
Conflicted because I like when Shannon drinks, but that's also like the great Bravo curse is that I want everyone to be drunk on Bravo or actively struggling in their addiction. Kelly Dodd says she hopes Shannon's DUI will make her a better person.
I'm That's glad incredible. Kelly Dodd got a word in.
I can't believe Kelly Dodd hasn't been arrested.
Shocked.
She seems like someone that would get arrested for spousal abuse.
Some sort of...
Just something.
Physical altercation. On the OC tip, now we mentioned this up at the top, but Gina and Matthew Kirschenheiter, am I pronouncing that right?
Who cares?
True. Okay, so in 2019, Gina of Real Housewives of OC was arrested for a DUI. She was at a mom event, had a few glasses, was shopping for leggings, and decided to go home, got in the car, and was pulled over. Classic tale.
Yeah.
Classic OC tale.
Mm-hmm. So Shannon spent all this past season telling everyone who would listen or has spent multiple instances in past seasons of OC being like, I saved Gina from getting arrested and from getting like
her kids taken away.
Like, thank God for my lawyer. I got him to like get in her case and like help her. And now Gina's about to have her come
up. Yeah. You know, Gina's going to be up at the Quiet Woman. Going to be like. Look who's laughing now.
I know. So Gina's is pretty run of the mill.
Yeah.
Nothing to write home about.
But I think in hindsight, probably kept her on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And now is solidifying an orange in her hand for next season.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get to her former husband, Matt, who was arrested in 2019 for assault because the two of them, when they were at the age of 35, had been out earlier in the evening, gotten an argument, and Gina claimed that Matthew came back to the house while Gina was asleep, pounded on her door, rang the doorbell before he broke into her house to continue the fight they were having beforehand. He became immediately enraged, threw her on the couch, threw some furniture around, and when she tried to get up, he threw her down and then screamed in her face that he was going to, quote unquote, fucking kill her. And then, this is really dark, he ripped her bra strap off, then took a pillow and hit her on the side of the head. And she asked him to stop, to calm down. He kept hitting her. Eventually, he started to hit her on the side of the head with his open hand. It got really bad. Basically,
she had to like run to neighbors for help. Yeah, it was, this is like a really so intense domestic violence arrest.
Ended up calling the police on him. And then he has had this on his record, and they've been working. They and ultimately ended up getting a divorce. He sort of copped to the entire incident and has been working through it. But
I'm shocked. Like, I didn't realize the extent of this until I tuned in last season to see just, it was like post aftermath, them like meeting to just talk about things and then kind of reliving in conversation what happened. I was like, holy shit, like, how are you gonna be going through that and then kind of like casually chatting about it on this show?
They're
and
in a place of co-parenting now. Like, they're
really are
working through it. Hats off.
I know, but the whole thing is incredibly dark to me.
It's not great. It's very sad. And again, really, really shows that growth is possible, because they're in an amicable spot right now, which if you can work through that, that's serious.
Yeah, that's rough.
I guess I give this one like,
I give it a G for good for you.
Good for you, Gina.
Moving on. Yeah, I give it a G for Gina.
Yeah. Whoa. So many Bravo arrests. What do we do about it? Who's next?
Someone will be next. That's the good news, is that when it comes to Bravo, someone will always be getting arrested sooner rather than later. It's a world that attracts fraudsters, drinkers, abusers, unfortunately.
What does it say about us?
That we're very smart and we enjoy deep
story,
dives into
savvy,
deep story, character development, and
growth.
Sometimes growth, sometimes backsliding, villains and heroes. Bravo is way more, to me, like tragicomedy, almost like Greek mythology-esque network than any other network.
True.
And that's why I like it.
Me too.
So yeah, from one criminal to another.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. And until next time.
Stay niche. Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you loved today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at @this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.